In this episode, I'm going to show you how I use tying shoelaces and talking about Lego as a way of having conversations with kids about consent. After all, teaching kids about consent has nothing to do with sex, and also to chat about the fundamentals you need to teach your kids. I hope you find it really useful. Welcome to Talking the Talk, Healthy Sexuality Conversations. I'm Vanessa Hamilton. This is the podcast that is going to encourage and support you to be the main sex and sexuality educator for your child. Do you want to feel confident and comfortable to have healthy and positive conversations about sex and sexuality with children so that you will be the first person who educates them about each topic? This podcast will provide you with surprisingly simple and effective actionable tips to clear the fears and uncertainty around essential sexuality conversations with kids. Each episode, I'll answer questions from parents and cover a variety of different topics. As a bonus, you might just get that sexuality education you missed out on when you were growing up. So as my tagline says, let's get started. It's easier than you think. Just a word of warning regarding the content. This podcast is not suitable for children. At times, it may contain explicit themes, including sexual themes, sexual abuse, and other adult conversations. Mostly, it'll be fun, informative, and insightful, but at the same time, please be sure to pause and take a breather or check in with your usual supports if any sensitive content brings up difficult thoughts or feelings for you. Let's talk about how simple consent can actually be to talk to kids about. I'll show you the stories that I use to talk about consent to kids in primary school classrooms. It's actually taken me a while to record this. I've been a bit quiet about the consent issue since it's been a hot debate here in Australia recently. Because there was so much to it, I didn't know where to start. So I decided let's just start with the simple version, shoelaces and Lego. So with the little kids, when we have set up the room for safety, we've talked about body safety and protective safety and body parts. We talk about personal space, and I say to the kids, what is consent? Who can tell me what that is? And they always know that it's permission, that you have to have permission to do something. So we talk about shoelaces, and I say to them, let's just say I wanted to tie your shoelaces. If you were giving me consent or permission to tie your shoelaces, what would you say to me? And they all say, yeah, go for it, whatever. Yeah, that'd be great, thanks. And then I say to them, if I wanted to tie your shoelaces and you didn't give me consent or permission, what would you say? No thanks, go away, I don't like you. They say all sorts of funny things, but they usually say, no thanks, no, go away. There's always one in the class that'll say something rowdy. Then I say to them, if I said to you, can I tie your shoelaces? And your answer to me was, I'm not sure. I say to them, have I got your consent and your permission? And straight away they say, no, you haven't, no. And I say, well, what's the only thing that's consent and permission? Yeah, go for it. Yes. That's right. Clear consent. I'll tell you the Lego story, then I'll talk about some of the principles of consent that we need to instill in our kids. The Lego story is about the older kids talking to them about what if you invite someone over to your house to play Lego and the person just changes their mind and they don't want to play Lego anymore. How do you feel about that and how do you react? I've had a range of responses to that, depending on different ages. But in every class, someone will say, well, that's mean of them to change their mind. Someone said, I'd punch them. Someone said, bad luck, they just have to do it. I get all of those negative sorts of responses. And it is absolutely gold peer group conversation that ensues when we talk about, does someone have the permission and ability to be able to change their mind if they want to? They might have said they wanted to play Lego when they came to your house, but then they didn't want to play anymore. And one day I said, what if you've got to the end of the castle and you're just about to put the flag and the finishing touches to the roof on, and the person says they don't want to play Lego anymore? Do they still have permission to change their mind? Of course they do, says most people. What, they can if they want to, but then there's a bit of, well, that's a bit mean, and can't they just keep going until we've finished? As you can see, it's a perfect analogy to talk about sexual consent. See, when we talk to kids about consent, it's got nothing to do with sex. Consent is consent. Sexual consent is sexual consent. And it's complex. And we need to instill the fundamental aspects of consent to children from a young age. So we say, can they change their mind? Yes. And then we talk about the strategies of feeling that disappointment. And it's okay to feel a bit sad and mad that they've changed their mind, especially if you really wanted to continue playing Lego, especially to the end. We talk about just taking a pause, acknowledging that you're feeling a bit disappointed. Maybe count to five before you respond. But we need to let the other person choose what they want to do. So we talk about all the strategies, and the kids come up with great strategies. Or maybe we can both stop playing Lego and think of something else to play. They'll always say, always one of them will say, well, that person can go and play something else and I'll just stay and finish playing the Lego. That's also a great analogy for sexual consent if you think it through. The fundamentals are there. I've got a few notes here to give you some ideas and some of the words, and I'll put them in the show notes or in the blog related to this podcast, because there's about probably 20 words that relate to consent. Maybe I'll just read out the words and then I'll put them in context into sentences. Let's try that. Consent's about making fundamental decisions. It's not just about actions. It's ongoing, continual mutual agreement for a shared experience. It needs permission and respect and communication. It should feel good, be pleasurable, fun and enjoyable when you're doing something together. It's about being generous, reciprocal and mutual. It's always enthusiastic. It's part of friendships. It's verbal and nonverbal. It's about speaking freely. Everyone feels positive, safe, and can communicate their expectations, what they want. It's exciting. It's not awkward or weird to negotiate, because honesty feels good for everyone. Understanding how the other person might feel, having empathy. It's a basic human right for everyone. It's got to do with bodies, feelings, thoughts, being comfortable and safe. It's got to do with respect. And everyone has their own body space, feelings and thoughts. It involves courage. It involves the law. It's important and awesome and positively powerful. And if you understand the fundamentals of consent, and consent is part of your everyday decisions, you'll be an awesome human with the best ever friendship experiences. So, talking to our kids about consent is that the simple reference that everything that you do with another person is fun when you both want to do it. It's not fun to force someone to play Lego when they don't want to play Lego. Wouldn't you rather go and play a game together that you both really enjoy playing? And they all get that. Yes, they understand that. It always needs to be fun for the whole time for both people. And that's about mutual negotiation. So it's about making those fundamental decisions. It's continuous and ongoing. So that's about checking in with the other person. It's a shared experience. The best part of playing something that with someone that they want to do as well is that shared fun experience. It involves communication, respect and permission. So always respecting the other person's permission and their right to not give that permission, and how brave they are and courageous if they say no or change their mind. But at the same time, it should be not a big deal if they do that. So we can teach kids to say things like checking in on the Lego. Are you still happy playing? Are you still okay to finish the whole thing? It's taken us quite a long time. Do you want to take a break? Maybe we'll take a break and go and get some cordial and then we'll come back and finish. Do you want to build another one after this? Checking in before, during and after, talking honestly about what you do and don't like are just skills that kids will be able to take with them to intimate encounters later on in life. The words that come to mind about consent when we're talking, I'll do another podcast about older kids and sexual consent. But as far as playing games together, it's about being reciprocal and mutual and generous and sharing and part of a friendship and teaching kids verbal and nonverbal cues that maybe someone doesn't want to play anymore and so you check in with them. Don't just ignore the fact that they're sort of giving you signs that they're bored or that they've had enough or that they're uncomfortable from sitting on the floor all the time. Setting up kids' ability to make sure that people can speak to them freely about what they expect and what they want and what they desire and what they need and that their friends can speak to them about that without them being sad, mad, angry, sooking, getting upset, making them feel bad, bribing them, maybe making them feel guilty. All of those fundamentals to just good, respectful relationships. Teaching them empathy, understanding how the other person might feel. Teaching them human rights, that everyone has the right to be safe, to enjoy the things that they're doing, especially shared activities. We have to respect people's body space, their feelings and their thoughts. And then talking about the law for things like consent. At particular ages, at appropriate ages, if we're talking about sexual intercourse, for example, we do talk about the fact that there is a law in this state, for example, of sexual consent of 16, but that doesn't mean that adult minds and bodies are ready for it. And it's about saying to the child that you want to be the best person you can be by sharing all experiences with someone and always getting their permission. We also, when we bring it back to the kids, we talk about the fact that without body safety and checking permission before you go into someone's body boundary or before you do something with them, is that it's not fun to just grab someone's hand and hold their hand when they don't want you to hold their hand, is it? But sometimes for your health and safety, an adult might need to do that for crossing the road, for example. So we put it in context. So some additional messages we want little kids to have, messages that I want adults to have, not little kids. So moving on to what I want adults to understand, that consent has nothing to do with sex unless we're talking about sexual consent. And it's integral to human relationships and connection, yet so many people don't understand it. And children who have a good understanding of the consent and all those fundamentals I've just talked about can more easily adapt those entrenched values into their sexual encounters later on in life. We should teach consent as early as possible. It should be and understand that it's not just implied, that it needs to be specific. We want kids to be critical thinkers of messages that people are giving them and what people say to them. And consent is always free of coercion and fear, and we should never bribe someone or make someone feel bad for not doing something that we want to do. So that's about teaching them about disappointment. So all of this should go in line with body safety as well and keeping themselves and everybody safe. So that's just a starter, a blog and podcast, just to have a little bit of a chat about consent for the little kids and how I use those two stories and how the penny really drops with the kids when we talk about Lego and tying shoelaces. I'll do another one after this podcast to talk more about how the analogy of the Lego, for example, can relate to adolescence and sexual consent, because of course it's much more complex than that. Thanks for listening all the way to the end of the episode. I'd love it if you would help me help kids. You can do that in two ways. One is let other parents know about this podcast if you think they would find it useful. And also, I'd be thrilled if you'd leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for being here and being the best you can be for your kids regarding sex and sexuality. Send me your questions. I'd love to answer them for you. Take care.